Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday, October 19th, 2019, in our nation's capital. It is good to be with you this week on the eve week. Can a week be an eve? On the eve week of the World Series, which, as you may or may not have heard, will prominently feature your Washington Nationals. It was a heck of a week out at the park last week. First of all, just physically bearing witness to a team clinch a World Series appearance is quite a sight. I mean, there's just it's pure elation on the part of the players. And this is something historic for the Washington Nationals. I think it's been, 86 years since a Washington team has hosted the World Series. It's just incredibly powerful when you think about the pure weight of all of those years. And you can take the Nationals out of it, really, in some respect. It's been that long since a World Series team has been here. You know, some version of the Washington Senators 86 years ago was the last World Series team in the District of Columbia. And then, of course, you put the Nats back in it, and this is the crowning achievement of the franchise. Everything that you've witnessed from the Nationals dating back to 2005, when they arrived back here for their inaugural season at RFK Stadium, nothing has been bigger than this. And I keep thinking about this. It's so hard to really separate the two because they just feel so dang similar. But when the Washington Capitals went to the Stanley Cup run, it wasn't until they beat the Penguins, eliminated the Penguins in the second round, where it's like a fog was lifted and you go, wow, maybe this really is different. Everything up to that point, you didn't want to believe it because you'd been conditioned, you'd been trained so hard to believe that eventually the bottom's going to drop out. And then everything after that point proved that you really can believe that things will be different. They flipped the script in a way that they never had before. And it truly started to feel different. And I think that's what happened when the Nats beat the Dodgers. They come back in just heroic fashion in Game 5, where they have to hit two consecutive home runs off of Clayton Kershaw coming out of the pen in the 8th to even have the chance to come back and win the game. And then they have that powerful Howie Kendrick grand slam in the 10th or the 11th, whatever it was. Something seismically different had to happen in order for you to, as a fan, justify in your mind, okay, maybe this really is different. Wow, this really isn't following the script of the past 7 years. In the Nats case, in the Caps case, it was unfortunately much more pain and torture than just 7 years worth. But here we are. We're on the eve week of the World Series, and the Nationals are in the dance. Anything can happen from here. So we'll see. Wait in anxious, pensive, nervous optimism. Let's jump into our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com. These are the biggest stories in DC sports this past week, as determined by you. You have the voice, you have the power, by giving us your clicks on thefandc.com.
It's time for the download countdown. The five most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number five.
It took just 15 pitches in the bottom of the first inning for the St. Louis Cardinals to completely unravel in Game 4 of the NLCS. Scoring 7 runs in the first, the Nats would cross the plate again and would not cross the plate again, excuse me, in game four. But it didn't matter. A series sweep was imminent. For the first time in 86 years, a World Series is coming to the district. Head to thefandc.com/nationals for a nice collection of highlights, video highlights from the evening. And that includes Elena Deladon's throwing out of the first pitch. I can tell you that because I took the video with my own two hands. And my personal view of key moments in that game, which will give you a great feel of just how dang loud it was at Nats Park for game four of the NLCS. Just incredible to watch all night. And the mounting euphoria that's kind of released with each big moment in the game. A lot of those are on film, and you can watch them. Just find the post titled Best Videos from the Night the Nats Clinched the Pennant on thefandc.com/nationals. I promise you're sure to find something worth your while.
Number four.
Less than a week after firing Jay Gruden, Dan Snyder had reportedly already zeroed in on a candidate to replace him. According to Jason Lockenfora last Sunday, Snyder views Pittsburgh Steelers coach Mike Tomlin as the best candidate to help revive the franchise and will make a push to acquire Tomlin in the coming offseason, I'm sure. Snyder, Lockenfora further reports, would be willing to give Tomlin a top-of-the-market salary as well as full authority over the organization. I'm so sure. If you're wondering the same thing I was when you saw this, yes, Mike Tomlin is still employed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, that means the Redskins would need to A, trade draft capital in order to acquire Tomlin. Or, I don't know, maybe they have an executive that the Steelers would like. And B, Tomlin would have to approve the deal. Which, why would he ever do that? Per Lockenfora, Snyder would be prepared to part with draft picks in order to make the deal happen. Adam Schefter would go on to report on the likelihood of Tomlin accepting such a deal. You can read his response at thefandc.com/Redskins.
Number three.
A week after his firing, former Redskins coach Jay Gruden made an appearance on ESPN's Dan Le Batard show, opening up about the decision to draft Dwayne Haskins and the Redskins' culture, which, of course, we know
is actually damn good.
Although he didn't watch last week's game, Gruden says he's been bored out of his mind, telling the show, "I think that first Sunday is going to be hard, and I decided to go out to the golf course and played at Robert Trent Jones Golf Course. A couple of buddies of mine and I had a good day. I was happy for some of the players and a few of the coaches that I got that got the first win." You know, I do wonder if that is sort of a leading quote there, as we knew with Scott McLuhan when he got fired, that he couldn't say anything negative about the team. The Redskins are a litigious organization, as I would imagine most NFL franchises are, but they're litigious to the point that they like to protect the information. And if Jay is still getting paid through the 2020 season, I guess about $5 million still coming his way, plus whatever he's supposed to make through the end of this season, then maybe he can't be quite as honest as he wants to be in these interviews. Maybe he wants to say a little more but can't. And I would imagine Jay may walk right up to that line, but probably will not go over it. But it does make me wonder, that specific quote, "I was happy for some of the players and a few of the coaches that got the first win." Maybe that means he wasn't happy for some of the other players and a few of the other coaches. It's a very odd word choice to me. On the culture, Gruden said, "We spent a lot of time trying to get the right culture in there as far as draft and free agency and all that goes." Let me just jump in here. Well, congratulations, Jay, because we know that actually...
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
So a job well done on that front. Gruden goes on, I think we had some good quality players and good coaches in the house right now, really. I don't think the culture is bad at all, quite frankly. When you go out and draft Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, end quote. Well, no, Jay, of course. It's not bad at all, quite frankly, because quite frankly...
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Gruden was interrupted with the host asking specifically about the culture that Bruce Allen has created. Quote, yeah, I can't say anything negative about the culture or anything right now, end quote. Remember what I told you a minute ago. Quote, I think the most important thing is when you're the coach and you want to put a team together, you have a vision of what that should look like. Sometimes it doesn't match what other people envision, and that's where problems occur. But on the flip of that, when you are the coach, you don't have GM responsibilities and you don't have total say. Then you have to do the best we can with what you're given. I think that's what we try to do as a coaching staff. And we did not always see eye to eye on some of the decisions that were made. But at the end of the day, that's the way it is in most buildings, quite frankly. So it's our job as coaches to work with what we have, put the pieces together the best way we can, and try to find success. And unfortunately, I couldn't get that done in the last year and a half. Gruden was also asked about the reported divisions within the organization over the decision to take Dwayne Haskins 15 overall. Gruden, quote, well, I think with Case Keenum coming here with 1 year and Colt McCoy coming back from a broken leg, we didn't know how long Colt would be out. The fact of the matter is we had to get a quarterback in the draft somewhere, sometime, and Dwayne is a great prospect, so we chose to take him as an organization. Unfortunately, people are excited when you take a guy at 15. They want to see him play right away. But it was our professional opinion that he wasn't ready to step in and play in the first five games of the season. In my opinion, it will take some time for him. He only played 13 or 14 games as a college player. He's very raw, but very talented, and it will take some time with him. He just wasn't ready when I was there, and maybe he'll get ready in the next coming weeks, but it was the direction we decided to go. Gruden goes on. There were some other quarterbacks that some people in the building liked later on in the draft, but we chose Dwayne and tried to make the most of it. He still got a chance to be a great player without a doubt. It's just going to take some time. End quote. I think he's saying everything he really needs to say right there. Not everything he wants to say, but everything he needs to say. And of course, Grant and Danny landed an awesome interview with Jay Gruden, which you can check out at grantanddanny.com. I strongly suggest you give that a listen. They go into great detail, and it's about 23 minutes long. For Redskins fans, it's must-listen radio. But, of course, this Jay Gruden interview was our third most read story of the week. When we come back, our top two stories in DC sports this week is determined by you, the loyal reader of thefandc.com. And, of course, the best segment you'll hear all week in DC sports is right here on this show, The Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Welcome back to The Download for another segment. Let's pick up right where we left off in our top five.
Number two.
With the weight of the world off his shoulders, Jay Gruden can finally breathe easy. And that is exactly what he's doing. Take a listen to this story from Jason Bishop of the Junkies that he told this week involving Jay Gruden. You're going to love this.
Jason wanted to tell us about his Saturday evening where you were able to watch the Nats game.
Absolutely.
But I know you were playing in some big poker tournament or poker event at your buddy's house.
Yes, I was invited by my buddy Brian Davidson, who works for Van Meter Homes.
Okay.
And they do a lot of work with Buell Electric. And Buell Electric's a big electric company in Northern Virginia. And John Buell is the owner. And I was invited to John Buell's house.
All right.
He lives in the same neighborhood as Jay Gruden.
Okay.
Creighton Farm.
So he's doing okay.
Oh, my God.
He's doing all right.
This is like a 10,000-square-foot house. It's
yeah,
absurd, right?
Right.
So
much coveting.
You walk in. It's just a beautiful home. and there were about 60 players in it.
Right.
And you walk into the bar in the basement, and full bar, mm-hmm. you know, it's got all the tables set up.
Sure.
And then there's a table about the size of this table.
Okay.
With 10 white bags with a dollar sign on it.
Okay.
All right.
Grab bags?
Actually, no, nine. I'm sorry, nine.
Okay.
So there's nine bags.
All right.
And that's for the final table. So John Buell puts up his own money. There's no buy-in.
Okay.
And he puts up his own money for the final table. So the final table all gets paid.
Okay. Got it.
A certain percentage.
So out of 60 players, whittles down to nine. Everybody
and that's the final
paid.
Table.
Okay.
All right. And so we're just having food and having some drinks. And then all of a sudden, Sherry and Jay Gruden walk in.
Okay.
And I thought that Jay Gruden, there was a chance he was going to be there because he's played in it before.
Right.
But I also heard that after he was let go by the Skins that he went down to Orlando to hang out with his parents for a couple days.
Okay.
But he obviously came back because he wants to play in this tournament.
Right.
And his wife, Sherry, is a poker degenerate.
She played in the Junkies Poker Open. We know it was at my table in the Junkies Poker Open.
She loves to see props.
She loves open-ended straight draws.
By the way, she's not ugly.
No, she's not.
Right. So she comes in, and when I say that Jay Gruden looked as relaxed as I've ever seen him,
yeah,
he looked like he was just hired.
Right.
Just got the job.
Fresh as a daisy.
Not fired.
Yes.
He looked so relaxed and carefree. He was having cocktails. He was talking to people. I actually sat right next to him at the final table. Yes, I made the final table.
Well, props. By the way, I think that's the look that anybody gets when they no longer have to work for Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen.
And you're still getting paid
Snyder. Yeah, you're still getting paid
$5 million.
Millions of dollars.
So you won one of the bags?
I did. So, and no one has any idea how much money is in the bags. Right? You just don't know.
Okay.
It's different every year.
Yeah. Do you know if it's money for sure, or it could have just been tchotchkes? Yeah.
No, there's money.
I mean, you would take gift cards, of course, but
there's so there's these nine bags,
right.
And everyone's goal is just make the final table.
Yeah, sure.
Because you know you're going to get paid. So it was me and my buddy Mike Winslow, who you know.
Yes. Yakety Yak. The artist formerly known as Sports Yak.
And Jay Gruden made the final table. Sherry Gruden did not make the final table.
Was she salty?
But Jay Gruden's, both of his sons made the final
table. Oh, look at that.
The whole family was there. And I sat right next to him.
Right.
And I ended up finishing seventh.
Okay.
I walked into a big blind. The blinds were 4,000, 8,000.
Okay, they're getting high.
And I walked right in. Once I advanced to the final table, I was the big blind.
Right.
Just based on where where the cards were.
Did you talk any shop with Jay?
You know, I didn't.
Any small talk?
Not really. We actually talked a little sports betting.
Okay.
And
what hand knocked you out, by the way? I need to hear the hand.
I was all in because I only had 10,000 chips, so okay. I went all in.
Down to the nubs.
I had like 2-6 off. I was done.
And did you have
but
Nats?
But I finished seventh.
That's solid.
You had Nats on TV?
Nats right behind us.
All right.
So I was. But the Nats game was over by the time we got to the final table. But
so was it Jay? Right, so, Jay with, was it Deuce Gruden?
One of the, Jay, you mean his son?
Who's his son?
Jack.
Okay, it's
and
Jack.
JJ.
Okay,
I think Deuce is John Gruden.
That's right. That's right.
That's his kid.
I don't know who Deuce is.
That's his nephew.
The dude who's all jacked, right? The weightlifting dude.
Right. No, he wasn't there. So it was me and Jay and both Jay's sons and my buddy Brian, a couple other guys. So I ended up walking away with seventh. So I go over and I pick the bag up.
Okay. You started to get a little movement in your pants.
I was shaking it. And I heard some, some change.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, there's quarters in here. There's like nickels and dimes and quarters. Well, they were silver dollars.
Okay.
All right, and there was about 50 of them.
Okay.
Plus, there was a lot of 20s.
Oh. Like a lot.
I went, what?
Like, is a lot like 20s?
No, it was probably
10 20s.
10 20s plus a few fives and a few ones. Anyway, it was about 350.
It's very solid.
It's pretty nice.
You're free rolling. You walk away with
this
bag.
This guy's so rich. He puts up nine bags of his own money. And obviously seventh, the guy who finishes sixth has a little bit more.
Yeah, sure.
The guy who finishes fifth has a little bit more than sixth. I'm not sure what the winner got. I'm guessing it was probably in the couple thousand range.
It's very solid.
But the fact that John Buell invites everyone over,
yeah.
has this big spread, free drinks, everything, and puts up his own cash for the final table, really cool.
Hey, you be sure to report that income, okay? you tell the tax man about that immediately.
But the overall point was Jay Gruden looked as relaxed and happier than I've seen him in 5 years.
Well, he's still getting paid, and he doesn't have to work.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Absolutely. Doesn't have to work for that tyrant.
Cakes,
if you had sat next to Jay Gruden,
yes.
would you have brought up your clock management person.
No,
theory.
Because again, it's look. He just got released from his duties. Right. He doesn't want to talk about, you know, working for the Skins. He doesn't want to talk shop when he's just, you know, like trying to play his King Jack suited.
Right.
You know, he's just trying to get one of those bags of money. Like he needs it.
I'm sure he doesn't need
Jay Gruden needs. He got, already got a I bag of money. It's $5 million from Dan Snyder to do nothing.
I think
next
he
year.
Finished second, so he probably got $1,000.
Yeah, it's good.
That's like a nickel.
He'll probably just donate it to charity. What does he care?
Or maybe not.
How great is that? The Junkies also relayed this story to Chris Thompson later in the morning on Monday's broadcast. This was how he responded.
Hey, so we know that you have you had a great affection for Jay Gruden. We talked to you about it a couple of times. Just so you know, maybe Jason can relay this. He saw Jay on Saturday at a poker event, and he said that he couldn't have looked more relaxed.
Dude, I'm telling you, I sat next to him at a poker table, and he looked so relaxed. He looked like he had just won the lottery. He was so happy.
No, I mean, just knowing Jay, he's one of those guys, like, when if I guess tough situations, like he'll deal with it right away. And then, you know, even sometimes not even an hour later, just a couple minutes later, it's almost like nothing even happened. So it doesn't, that part of it doesn't surprise me at all.
You do believe he'll be coaching next year in the NFL, right? That's not, yeah, not maybe not a head, so. Not a head coach, but he'll be on someone's staff, probably his brother's.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, I think that's where everybody thinks, like, that would be probably his number one destination, but I'm sure it won't be too long, I mean, before he's coaching again.
And yes, believe it or not, it actually does get better, because Jay Gruden then issued his own response to Jason Bishop's story. When he was asked about playing in the poker tournament on the Dan Lebatard show, Diana Russini, fortunately, was filling in just in time.
Stu, one of the things down in Washington that people know about the Gruden family is Jay's wife, Sherry, is a really good poker player. Like, really good.
Wow.
And I don't
know about really good.
Well, from what I hear, I've got pretty good sources there. She's excellent at it. So... And I heard that you've been participating in some of these poker tournaments lately to sort of stay busy. Are you a
we
pretty good poker player?
We had one poker tournament at our neighbor's house. There was one poker tournament at our neighbor's house. One of the guys from the Junkies, the local radio show, was there, of all people, and he reported on it. It was one little friendly poker tournament at a neighbor's house.
Wait, how does
so
your
not all the time.
Jay, how does your neighbor, who I'm assuming is a friend, okay, you're going over to play poker, you have a relationship, how does your neighbor let a member of the media be at the same poker table as you? That's ridiculous.
Oh, this is a great story. I had the same neighbor invite us over to a Name That Tune challenge. It's a big old event. It's really, really fun.
What?
And at my table, lo and behold, is Brian Mitchell, who's been shredding me in the media for 3 years. I had to sit next to him for the whole event. So
really?
That was uncomfortable. But, yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. You know, it was harmless. Just my kids played in it and had fun.
Jay, poker games, Name That Tune. Like, what neighborhood? Where the hell do you live? I want to live there.
It's fun. It's like once every 6 months he has an event.
He used
really
to live
no
next to
deal.
RG3 with Robert Griffin III play there.
Really?
They were next door neighbors. That was a big story, Jay.
I'm at his house right now. Jordan Reed's right across the street.
That audio courtesy of ESPN. I love how he just detested even having to talk about it. In this big national radio show, it was one poker tournament, okay? One tournament. The Junkies, some guy from the Junkies. It's so good. I love, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest. I'm going to miss Jay Gruden sound bites.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
Reports of Mike Tomlin potentially coming to Washington are nonsense. Rick Snyder writes in his latest column for The Fan at DC.com, our number one story this week. Unfortunately, I couldn't get Rick on the horn this morning because he's just too busy. He has about 100 different jobs. I really respect the hustle. But I'll give him a shout-out because he loves being able to brag when he gets his number one spot, and he got it this week. So congrats, Rick. Rick went on to write, seeking the Pittsburgh Steelers coach sounds like owner Dan Snyder, who loves big name coaches and having a wish list leaked to show fans he's serious about improving the team is his typical style. But Tomlin has a great job with a great organization that appreciates him. The Steelers aren't trading Tomlin unless he pleads with them to do so. And why would anyone want to leave one of the NFL's leading franchises for one of the worst? Rick just nails it there. It's actually disrespectful to Tomlin, Rick Snyder argues, and the Steelers for the Redskins to even leak this in season, which actually decreases their non-existent odds of getting him. Rick goes on to point out a couple of other things. I'm paraphrasing here. In typical backwards Redskins thinking, they'd be willing to trade a high draft pick to land a coach when they need actual talent on the field. Snyder goes on to write, Dan Snyder needs to realize celebrity hunting won't work. A stable, a good front office is what wins, not a big-name coach who has already succeeded and is simply cashing in one more time. You can read Rick's full column at thefandc.com/Redskins. Congrats to Rick Snyder, our top dog this week. When we come back, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. It's time for the best segment on this show each week. The best segment in DC sports radio all week. The Junkies Rewind. Let's relive that beautiful feeling that Nationals fans felt when the Nationals clinched their appearance in their first ever World Series.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
Johnny Cakes Awville's here.
Hello.
And Jason Bishop.
Look at that energy.
I mean,
that's 601.
They're in the World Series. We're celebrating a sweep.
Unbelievable.
A sweep of the Cardinals.
Didn't even trail in the series.
Jumped on them early.
When was the last time that
got
happened?
A little dicey there in the eighth inning, but Daniel Hudson got out of the bases loaded jam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they close it out, and it's history. The Washington Nationals, who were 19-31 earlier this season, have advanced to their first ever World Series. We're celebrating with you throughout the show. It's Open Line Nats, 800-636-1067. An amazing run. What's been your favorite part of the run? Howie Kendrick wins the MVP. Feel great for him. I watched some of the post-game interviews on MLB Network. He couldn't be a nicer guy. He was there with his wife, his family.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I saw the initial interview. I didn't go so deep where I'm watching like his family get interviewed, too. But, yeah, he couldn't be a more humble, down-to-earth, just happy dude. And I'm glad he won the MVP.
I mean, the kind of year he had in the regular season. You know, but prior to this year, he only had one other year where he had more homers than he did this year. He had 17, he had 18 one other previous year. It's been the best year of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about it. His best moments in his career. He's had a long career. He's 36 years old. His best moments have been here with the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, I feel great for him. Feel great for Zim.
Man, Zim was
been
hyped.
Here for 15 seasons.
Man, he was hyped.
Yeah.
From the start, the RFK years. 800-636-1067 if you want to celebrate with us. It's just an awesome thing.
So tell me what the experience was like. Give me the little play-by-play, the breakdown. Where'd you go first, the pregame? I assume you went to Circa.
Of course.
And then how long were you there? What time did you get to the stadium? What was the atmosphere like?
Well, these guys were at Circa a lot longer because it took me 2.5 hours to get here.
Oh, okay.
I left my house at 5.
Was that Metro?
No, I ended up not going with Metro because I wasn't sure if I could leave my car at Metro overnight.
Right.
I had a friend tell me that you can do it, but you may get ticketed.
Hmm.
And so that was...
It scared you off.
Scared me a little bit, and I just left.
So it was just 2.5 hours of sort of regular traffic, or like when did it
there
get...
There was traffic
when did
from
you
the
hit
270
the Nats
spur all the way until the American Legion Bridge. They had shut down a couple lanes. I think there was a truck. It didn't turn over, but there was something going on with an 18-wheeler on the American Legion Bridge.
Gotcha.
Plus, at that time... The sun's coming down, and a lot of people just slow down because of the glare of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So that was brutal. And then the G-Dub Parkway, which is usually pretty smooth sailing until maybe the last mile or so before you get on 395, there was a backup for about 4 or 5 miles.
Well, you know what I do
wasn't
lately?
I was stressing about it.
Right.
I mean, I told you guys I was going to be there at 6. I might have parked at 7:15. Maybe it was 2 hours and 15 minutes. But it was a long haul.
When I go on that GW Parkway and I see those line of cars like for a Nats game, I'll go past it, drive to Reagan National, and just come back the other way.
I like that move.
And you know, it takes an extra 5 minutes,
yeah,
but you're not sitting there for miles.
I think you can do that when just one of the lanes is slowed down, but both of the lanes were slowed down.
Yeah.
For miles. So,
well,
but I mean, I made it safe, and I was listening to Pete Medhurst and Danny Ruye doing the pregame, getting hyped up for the game.
You guys should have.
And then eventually, I did meet you guys over at Circa. I had one beer and your leftover hummus.
Should have spent time at MGM National Harbor seeing flops because I encountered virtually no traffic until I got within a block or two of the stadium.
That's what you did.
I just cruised right into DC. It was beautiful in the back door.
Yeah. But man, it's incredible that you know how tense it was for the Brewers wild card game and how tense it was for the Dodger series that they just cruised past
the Cardinals.
Well, I don't
know if Valdez can find this, but somebody hit us up and I vaguely remember a caller calling in and saying, yeah, they're going to sweep the Cardinals.
Right.
And we mocked them.
Right.
There's a lot of mocking happening.
So I don't know if you can find that, Valdez. I mean, I know it's like trying. Can you type in that special
this
machine?
This is Matt
Valdez. Cardinals.
It's a needle in a haystack.
But
it's a needle in a
haystack. He's like the Indiana Jones of finding obscure clips.
Before the series started, at some point, I don't know if we were going around taking predictions or what.
A caller
called in and said, "Yeah, we're hot. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We slayed the dragon. And now we're going to sweep the Cardinals. We're going to the freaking World Series."
Well, I felt like we were there. So we were in the press box. So I meet them over at Circa.
What was the atmosphere like? You know, pre-gaming before and like how many people were down here?
It was raucous. I mean,
what were all the restaurants
we were at Circa,
like?
And there was just a constant stream of people like on the sidewalks coming through the restaurant, going into the outdoor patio section.
The bullpen was jumping.
Yeah.
I mean, the streets were probably filled.
Oh, packed. So full. So
people
much
everywhere.
So much red in the city.
A lot of red.
Except for the three of us because we had to wear nicer clothes.
We had to wear big boy clothes.
So you sat in the press box.
We did, yes.
Right. We stood in the press box.
Oh, you didn't have your own chairs.
I mean, there was a chair or two we could have grabbed, but...
But then we would have been... I mean, we kind of were separated. Pete Medhurst.
How many people
Danny
were in
Ruye
the press box?
And Chris Lingebach.
50?
Oh,
we're sitting together.
100?
100, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was packed.
It was jammed.
Stood behind guys and watched. I talked to Mike Wise.
Oh, you did?
Just chilling.
But during that first inning, when Robles hits the pop-up, which generally would be an out.
Well, Jose Martinez is the worst outfielder in the world.
Well, yeah, the second baseman, the first
baseman.
And he has
been for his entire career.
And Jose Martinez all converge on the ball, and then it just drops. I felt like, well, there's just no way the Cardinals coming back. They're laying down, and it looked like that was the case. But they did fight back.
You look at that game and how it played out in the first inning, you can't help but think that the Cardinals were just checked out mentally.
Right.
That's what I thought.
I mean, Wong drops a ball.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? By the way, Edmund's play was sick. Wong just drops the ball. Martinez is just an idiot and just lets the ball drop. I mean, that's not Wong's play. That's Martinez's play, 10 times out of 10. And then, you know, it's 7-0, and Hudson doesn't even make it out of the first.
Well, dude, I've never seen this before.
I mean, talk about some bad luck for these guys.
By the time we actually
got
to the press box and got our bearings straight, they were about 7 pitches in.
Yeah.
And I look up, and by the 8th pitch, Wainwright is warming up.
I know.
8 pitches. I've never seen that before. 8 pitches in to start a game. And I get it. All hands on deck. And, you know, but I'm stunned.
At one point during the boat race, during the 7-run inning.
And he only had a couple
days
off.
Yeah. I was standing in the press box behind like 3 guys. I had no idea who they were. And for a second, I lost my mind and forgot where I was.
You
and
did
I,
a woo!
No, I didn't do that, but I definitely did this.
I clapped
once, and the dude in front of me cranes his neck and looks at me like I had, you know, just committed a felony.
Right,
and then I realized, I was like, oh, I'm in the press box. I can't,
that place,
can't cheer.
I'll be honest with you. The place is miserable.
It's but unfun.
It's a funeral
in
there.
The press box is not that fun.
Everybody's keeping
score. Everybody's scoring the game.
You should have said, what are you looking at, dude?
I did
not. I'm a fan.
I just looked straight ahead.
Yeah.
I didn't engage.
Yeah.
And I just went and hung out with Shorts. Who's still here, by the way, cranking out content. And Funny Dan.
I think Shorts is just, he just wants to stroke out. You can't stay up this late.
No, it's all about the page views, EB. The page views are hot.
Yeah,
right
go to thefandc.com. You can listen to all of the radio calls from the game last night.
Which I need to hear, by the way. I need to hear those at some point.
You know
like
how
soon.
You can do it, Cakes? The new radio.com app allows you to rewind 24 hours. So you listen to 106.7 The Fan on radio.com, and you just rewind to the game coverage.
So it's a radio DVR.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm used to the DVR.
You love DVR.
So I actually
left.
Corbin striking at the side and the top.
Oh.
I'm just like, it's on again.
Right. The place was electric. I mean, it really is amazing. I saw Pete Medhurst tweet this, and we're going to talk to Pete at 6:45. He said, D.C. is a baseball town. You know what D.C. is? It's a hockey town when the Caps are on a run.
It's an event
baseball
town.
It's an event town. We talked about
it. It's a championship town.
It is.
We're rivaling Boston. We're going to have parades every other year.
It'd be awesome.
Well, it is incredible, and I know everybody's jacked up, fired up. I still can't believe it. It still hasn't quite hit me.
I know,
somebody
crazy.
Said, I don't know if this is true, but during the game yesterday, at the very maybe did Steinberg tweeted or something, that World Series tickets, like the cheapest, are like $700.
Something like, and like the parking is like $230.
$230 for parking right now. $700.
Good luck.
So you're talking about, it's going to be $1,000 just to get in there.
I know.
Just, well, when I went probably to, be in that dumb press box again.
When I went to game one in 04 in Fenway Park, you remember it. I was kind of begging people on the radio, hey,
right,
give me some connections.
I
ended up paying.
You're angling?
I ended up paying, I think, $1,100 or $1,200 for my ticket. Plus, I had to take the train. I flew up.
Let me just
say this. I probably spent $1,500.
As far as getting back in the press box, if that happens, the whole, you got to wear dress clothes. You got to dress up. That's very liberal. They're very liberal with that policy from some of the dressing that I saw going on.
So many pairs of jeans.
So many jeans.
Jeans and hoodies.
And I felt like an accountant because I bought a pair of Dockers and I had my
you
shirt.
Bought a pair of
I did,
those?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And
you didn't have?
I had my shirt.
Your humongous closet.
Didn't
you
really
didn't have any slacks.
Didn't really have slacks.
You don't have any slacks.
When do I wear slacks? I have like
I mean, you should have a pair.
I have like a couple suits. I just didn't have them. So I went and bought Dockers. I look like an accountant. I look like a total nerd. I was like, everybody here is wearing jeans. This is an outrage.
I felt that way because so my cousin was in section 113.
That's great.
And I hadn't seen him in a while. So I told
Dockers.
You guys I left in the
nerd.
Fourth inning and I went to find my cousin Eduardo. And I hung out with him. I saw our guy Brad from Chance for Life. Mm-hmm. I saw Doug Kammerer.
Oh, everyone
there were all kinds
was there.
Of people. I think Tom Wilson was there.
How about Cakes and I ran into Brett?
I know.
Where did we run into him, BB? What's happening?
Cakes had to go to the 50-50 line.
Yeah.
So we had to go to the 50-50 line before we left. We left right around the eighth inning.
I've yet to check my ticket, and I'm chopping with Brett if one of us
but
hit.
But I wanted to point out, so when I walked down there, there's all kinds of junkies listeners. What's up, JP? And I just felt like such a nerd because I'm wearing my
– JP.
My Hugo Boss like striped shirt, and everybody's wearing red.
JP.
Everybody is wearing Nats gear except for the junks.
Yeah,
and I'm walking in the concourse, and everybody's like, "Why are you dressed like that?"
Yeah.
Just came down the press box.
Long story.
Yeah, it's awful, but that's how we got in. So appreciate it. Thank you, MLB.
If we do it next time. I'm going to wear this red t-shirt underneath.
Yes, that's a good
move. My button-down shirt, and then I just take it off the button.
We were so clueless about the press box because we've been there so infrequently. We went to the wrong level at first. We went a whole level up.
Oh, you did?
We're walking around like, where is everybody? And then we realized, it's another level down.
And we should mention, we are going to have Nats guests throughout the show.
Open
they're going to be calling
Nats
in
too.
Throughout the show. We're taking your calls as we celebrate. We'll be popping bottles shortly. Why don't we sprinkle in a few phone calls here right at the top of the show. Give us your thoughts.
By the way.
Your favorite part of this run.
Apparently I said I was going to Porky Pig if they get to the World Series.
Doing that. No one wants to see you, Porky Pig.
No one's going to see anyway, but it's just for the I'll hang my shorts here for an hour. I'll do it for an hour. Because I said I was going to do it. It's just ridiculous.
You're a man of your word.
I'm a man of my word.
Are you going to fully Porky Pig, or are you just going to take your jeans off?
Well, first of all, I never wear jeans to work. It's always sweats. I mean, if you do it, you got to commit to the
I'll
bit.
I'll be honest
you go,
with you, I didn't even remember you saying you're going to
Neither did I, but I get 6 million tweets about it.
I do remember
listeners remember.
That.
I'm not
They're
saying
like
that anymore. And this friggin' World Series run's already cost me at least $500.
Bankrupting you.
I'm going to load up on the Astros or the Yankees, too.
Yeah, I know you are.
Because we're not actually going to win the World Series, are we, Cakes? I mean, this is insane.
Oh, they could win it. They definitely could win it. I don't care who you're facing. You're still going to be throwing out Max, Stras, Corbin, and Sanchez. That will get you competitive with anybody.
Verlander, Cole, pretty good.
Understood.
Let's go to Brandon in Gaithersburg. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
I'm still riding the adrenaline high from last night. I'm actually driving my way. I didn't really sleep last night. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But,
Cake's got a lot of sleep.
Yeah, tons.
You got tons of sleep.
I just wanted to say, you know, it's so cool as a D.C. sports fan to just, like, breathe a sigh of relief where I'm actually cautiously optimistic. You know, everything's coming together. I was one of those bitter Harper fans last year. And then to see Soto, I did not expect him to do this well. But even, like, Rainey, I mean, the dude's throwing 100 miles per hour, mm-hmm. and that trade that we got for him, I mean, like, everything's just coming together, and I'm just really pumped. I mean, it's just, like, a really good feeling as a D.C. sports fan. So I know the big fan of you all, longtime listener, I'm just still riding a high, and I'm going into work early with a huge smile on my face this morning.
Nice. Very good. A lot of people are.
Enjoy it. How nervous were you in the eighth inning when the bases are loaded? They actually had the winning run at the plate.
I mean, I was mildly nervous. I wasn't as, I don't know, speed up 3-0,
you were
okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't as nervous.
He had to work in that inning.
Yeah.
Because they wanted Doolittle, who had a very clean seventh inning, mm-hmm. to get through that eighth inning so that Hudson would close it out in the ninth, and there were just so many pitches in that eighth inning. It actually worked out for me because I left, I guess it was the seventh inning, and I got in my car, and I made it home for the last out.
Right, right. No, Cakes and I left right in the middle of some of that drama and got back to the crib right over here, the condo, mm-hmm. and so we saw the end of the eighth unfold. So yeah, I was good.
By the way,
I was too stressed.
Ask me how much I paid for parking.
Zippy.
I wish.
Oh,
why? Where'd you park?
I parked here in the building.
Oh, that's right. It's about 50,
I'm not
right?
a monthly. $45.
Wow. $45.
Because I had been in my car so long, I didn't feel like rolling the dice.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Making
I don't
the
blame
turn
you.
Around to Homewood Suites, because one time I did that on game day, and the guy in the yellow vest just grilled me right. and said that I couldn't take a turn into Homewood Suites. I was like, but I park here every day.
Yeah, he didn't care.
I don't care.
Don't care. They don't care about you. They just want the traffic to keep moving.
Right.
Right.
They're not having your left turn at all.
All right, let's do one more here before we go to break. Let's
I paid
go to
Zippy for parking.
Ahmed in Ashburn. Ahmed, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So it was the year 2005. It was a freshman in high school. It was the same cafeteria. And me and my friends, we were talking about the Nationals and talking about Ryan Zimmerman. And then last night when we saw Ryan Zimmerman talking, like right there, like I just started breaking down because it was just like amazing to see like finally did.
Your phone's breaking up. Yep. Yeah, it's great for
Feel
Ryan
for
Zimmerman.
Him, man. He was
especially
going crazy.
The ups and downs of his career most you know, most recently this year with the plantar fascia. I mean, he's had so many injuries, it seems like, the last Nicky couple of years.
That guy had the St. Louis Cardinals of phones.
I can't believe just the thorough domination of the Cardinals.
Just
stuff.
Punk
that,
them.
That's just incredible to me. And we'll break it all down. We'll go into all the stats.
Well, how about this? They never trailed in the series.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's happened like 6 or 7 times ever.
It wasn't even close.
Nope. It really wasn't.
Well, it was
and the Nats have now won 16 of their last 18 games.
It got hairy. Let's be honest.
Eighth inning got hairy a little bit.
Yeah, but at the end, it was one of these. In totality, the series was a boat race.
I mean, Matt Carpenter was basically Cakes the entire series. If he just gets the bat on the ball once.
You mean he was silly?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
That what you're trying to say?
It could have been totally different.
Hey, I'm guessing you didn't win that 50-50.
I haven't checked.
Oh.
You might be a big fat winner. When we left, it was like 60,000.
I still have a micro sweat.
You got a sweat.
As far as I know.
So the 60,000, and they have to check it, or that's the jackpot?
Chop it.
Chop the 60.
And then,
if
I hit it, I chop it with Brett.
Right, right.
Because we decided on a chop.
All right, can we look at it live on the air?
Sure.
Next segment?
Yeah.
All right, we are celebrating.
We got to get our champagne.
Want to take your calls.
I got to take my pants off.
800-636-1067. The Nationals are in the World Series. We'll have guests throughout the show, including the GM and President of Baseball Ops, Mike Rizzo.
Very good.
He'll join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
The Junkies Rewind on the Download.
The Nationals just continue to be such an incredible story, and I can't wait to see how it all plays out this next week. I got to get out of here. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Lingbach. Follow The Fan at 106.7 The Fan on Twitter and Instagram. I'm telling you, we are pumping out some great content. Our team of writers, myself, Ben Krimble, and I'll see you guys same time next Saturday, hopefully with some good news to report in our top 5 most read stories of next week. I got to go. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.